Chapter 8. Fee-fi-oh-no.
Hide! I cry. We can't get caught by the giant. He eats kids for snacks. Plus, he's a murderer. He killed Jack's dad.
Where should we go? Jack asks.
In the story, Jack hides in the oven, Jonah says, pointing up at the oven.
What story?
Jack asks, but there's no time to answer him now. The oven is too risky, I say. Also too hot. Philippa just made scones. And I'm not even sure we could reach the oven. In the corner of the kitchen, I spot a tall, narrow door with slats. It's slightly ajar, so I peek in. It's a pantry full of giant-sized cans and jars and boxes of food. The giants sure like pasta. And sour cream and onion potato chips.
In here, I whisper.
Jack and Jonah race in after me, and I shut the door. We can just see through the slats into the kitchen.
Thud, thud, thud.
The thudding gets louder and louder until finally the giant enters the kitchen. I can't see all of him through the slats, but I can see part of his gray pants. They're huge. And so is he.
Fee, fi, fo, fum, the giant sings. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread.
Jonah, Jack, and I all gulp at the same time.
I guess that's how the rest of the song goes,
Jonah whispers, his eyes wide. The giant's bread is made from bones? That is disgusting. There are so many kinds of bread. Sourdough bread, challah bread, but kid bread? Ah! I press my face up against the slats so I can get a better view.
Oh, Magnus,
Philippa scolds, following her husband into the kitchen.
Please don't sing that song. It's so gruesome.
She looks around the kitchen, clearly trying to see what happened to us. The giant laughs. The sound reverberates through the house.
But my dad taught it to me, and I think it's funny.
It's not,
Philippa says. The giant looks around the kitchen, sniffing the air.
Philippa?
Magnus says.
Yes, dear?
She asks. I hear the sniffing again.
I really do smell a boy,
Magnus says.
Or two boys. And maybe a girl. I smell a lot of small people.
Jonah, Jack, and I all remain frozen, holding our breaths.
I don't know what to tell you, Magnus,
Philippa says.
I don't smell anyone.
Thank you, Philippa. She's covering for us. Whew. Or maybe she just thinks we left. Magnus shrugs.
I'd love one of your delicious vanilla scones and some tea, dear.
Coming right up, sweetie,
Philippa says. The giant walks over to a kitchen cabinet that's right above the counter and opens it. I gasp. Inside is an open burlap sack stuffed with huge gold coins.
The coins,
I whisper to Jonah and Jack. Jack smiles.
Thanks, Magnus, he whispers. Now we know where they are.
I spot many more burlap sacks, each tied with a red ribbon at the top, behind the one sack the giant is now holding. The bags are massive. Will we be able to grab one and carry it out?
I'll count my coins until my snack is ready,
Magnus says, grabbing the sack and sitting down at the table with a thud. Your coins? Ha! He stole Jack's dad's money and probably a ton of other people's, too. No wonder he got so rich. I watch Magnus take out a big gold coin and examine it.
One,
he says, putting it aside. He takes out another.
Two.
And another.
Three.
By the time he counts out 22 gold coins, his head is rolled back and he's snoring. Who knew counting coins was as boring as counting sheep? Have you ever heard a train rumble right past you? That's kind of what giant snores sound like. Through the slats, I watch Philippa walk over to Magnus. He lets out a super rumbly snore.
I suppose your scone can wait,
she whispers with a chuckle. She takes the bag of coins and stashes it back in the cabinet.
Kids,
she calls softly, looking around. Are you still here? I put my finger to my lips, motioning to Jack and Jonah to be quiet. She shrugs.
I guess they left. I think I'll go put my feet up in the living room. See what's on the telly.
Philippa thuds out of the room. Her footfalls aren't as loud as Magnus's, but they're still loud.
This is our chance, I whisper to Jonah and Jack. Let's grab as many coins as we can carry from the cabinet and get out of here.
Wait, what about the goose that lays the golden eggs?
Jonah asks.
Shouldn't we look for that too?
Oh,
Jack says, his eyes lighting up.
A goose that can lay golden eggs will mean we'll never go hungry again, and my mum could buy me a new coat for winter. I outgrew mine. And gloves to keep my hands warm, and maybe a cap to keep the rain off my head. A boy can dream, right?
Poor Jack. He deserves all those necessities, and more. But I don't see a goose, or the harp. And do we really want to risk becoming kid bread for the giant's next ham and cheese sandwich?
I think it's too dangerous, I say. The goose could be in another part of the castle, and by the time we find her, Magnus could wake up.
Come on, Abby,
Jonah whispers. Jack needs the goose now. I stare at Jack's tattered shirt and the holes in the knees of his pants. I think about how little he and his mother have. Gold coins can't last forever, but a goose that lays golden eggs means real wealth. It means a new coat every year if Jack needs it. And Jack and his mom are so kind. Outside the pantry, the giant lets out a long, loud snore. Jonah, Jack, and I glance at each other.
Never mind. Forget the goose. It's way too risky, Jack says. Let's get the coins and go.
Jack's right, Jonah agrees. Magnus might wake up and catch us. I don't want to be kid bred. Good thing you're here, Jack.
Really? Didn't I just say that a second ago? Okay, I say, determined to take back my rightful place as planner. I'm going to open the pantry door very quietly but quickly. Then we just have to get to the cabinet and grab a bag of coins.
Let's do it, Jack agrees.
I push open the pantry door, hoping it won't squeak like ours does at home. No squeak.
Phew.
We all tiptoe out. Magnus is snoring so loudly, the whole kitchen shakes. I immediately see a problem. The cabinet with the gold coins is above the counter. How exactly are we getting up to the cabinet? I ask. For us, it's like getting up to the roof of a house from the ground.
Think of something good before Jack does, I tell myself. Think, think.
I stare at the cabinet, then the counter below it, then the bottom row of cabinets. Maybe? We can climb up the bottom cabinet, I suggest. See the handle? We each just need a running leap to grab the handle and fling ourselves up onto the counter. Then we'll do the same with the top cabinet.
I don't know, Jack says. It sounds dangerous.
And how would we get the huge, heavy bag of coins out of the cabinet and out of the castle and down the beanstalk? Did you see the size of those coins? I cluck my tongue in annoyance. One thing at a time, Jack. I'm getting us up to the cabinet. Then we'll worry about next steps.
But Jack's right, Jonah says. I think he should come up with a different idea.
Of course Jonah would side with Jack.
I guess we could try Abby's plan, Jack says, and then worry about each next thing as we get to it.
Great idea,
Jonah says, holding up his palm for a high five.
Seriously?
Although, Jack adds, rubbing his chin, we do need a lookout and someone to direct us from the ground.
I'll be the lookout, I volunteer. This way I don't have to climb. From my position, I can see the giant sleeping and the cabinet where the gold coins are. I watch Jonah and Jack follow my plan. They get a running start and grab onto the handles of the lower cabinet to hoist themselves up. Then Jonah puts his foot on the handle and grasps the top of the counter. He flings himself up and on top. Jack does the same. Then Jack turns and gives me a thumbs-up sign.
"Hurry!"
I whisper yell. I turn around and look at the giant. He's still sleeping. Jack and Jonah run to the middle cabinet.
"I can't reach the cabinet,"
Jonah whispers, jumping up and trying to reach the handle.
"Now what?"
"Wait," Jack says, eyeing the distance. "I think I can."
He stands on his tiptoes and tries to open the door, but can't reach.
"Just a bit higher,"
he squeaks, stretching himself even taller. "He reaches! He's able to get the door open!
Thank goodness my mom got me these new sneakers,"
Jack says with a grin. "I'm a good 2 centimeters taller than these. My old ones were completely flattened." I have no idea how to convert centimeters into inches, but yay Jack's mum. I like the word mum. I wonder if I should start calling my mom mum or mummy. That kind of makes me think she should be wrapped in toilet paper and coming back from the dead. Never mind.
"But I don't think I can get to the sack," Jack is saying. "It's too far inside."
I look over. It's true. Jack needs to be at least a foot taller to reach inside the cabinet for the sack of coins.
"I know," I say. "Jack, let Jonah sit on your shoulders. He can climb into the cabinet and push out the sack."
"Not a bad idea," Jack says. "Let's do it."
"Not a bad idea at all,"
Jonah repeats. Jack kneels down, and Jonah climbs onto his shoulders.
"Here we go."
"Snort,"
goes the giant. We all freeze. We wait a moment, but the giant doesn't move.
"Keep going," I say.
"But be careful," Jack says.
Again, that's my line.
"I will," Jonah promises.
I watch as Jonah leaps from Jack's shoulders and right into the cabinet.
"Yes!"
"I'm gonna push out the sack," Jonah says. "Jack, move out of the way or it'll smush you."
Jack races to the far side of the counter. Jonah uses all his strength to push out the burlap sack of coins. It lands with a thud on the counter. I glance at Magnus. He's still sleeping.
"Yes!"
"Yay!" I say, "great job!" Jack gives Jonah a high five.
"Awesome, little dude!"
"I wouldn't say I'm little," Jonah mutters, but then grins. "Maybe compared to Magnus."
Jack pushes the sack off the counter onto the floor. It lands with another heavy thud. I hold my breath and glance at the giant again. He stirs, but doesn't wake up. I can hear Philippa humming to herself in another room. So far, so good. Jonah and Jack climb down to the floor and rush back over to me.
Phew.
Just then, though, Magnus stirs again with a low, rumble snore. I glance up. He's still sleeping. But his hand drops off the table. His super huge, beefy, giant hand. And it's headed right for where Jack is standing. The giant's hand pushes him right over like he's a bowling pin. Jack goes flying across the room. Ah! Jonah and I race to where Jack landed on the other side of the kitchen.
"Jack, are you okay?"
Jonah asks, shaking Jack's arm desperately. Jack rubs his back and sits up.
"I'm okay," he says. "Just a little sore."
"Ouch. We should get out of here."
Jonah and I help Jack stand back up. We all look over at the big, heavy bag of coins on the floor.
Next problem," Jack says.
"How are we gonna get the bag of coins to the door and down the beanstalk?"
"Good question."
"Let's all grab part of the top and drag the bag to the door," I say, "together."
"Teamwork,"
Jonah says, reaching for a section of sack. Jack and I do too. Ready? I ask. We can all hear Magnus still snoring, so we know he's still asleep,
but we don't know for how long.
Pull, I say. We all pull. The sack is really heavy, but it'll be worth the effort. We make it all the way to the door, which, thankfully, Philippa left open. We drag the bag down the cloud walkway, all of us huffing and puffing. There's the beanstalk, I say when the huge, bright green top of it comes into view. How are we going to get the sack down? I ask.
We could just drop it, Jonah suggests.
Jack rubs his chin.
It'll get down before we do, he points out. But at least we'll be sure it'll land on the ground. You know, gravity.
But what if someone happens to be standing in that spot, I say? Like your mother. She'll get hit with it. Jack's hazel green eyes widen.
I definitely don't want my mum or anyone else to get hurt. Forget the gravity plan.
We all stare at the bag of coins again.
I have an idea, Jack says.
How about if I slide down the beanstalk to the bottom and make sure there's no one around? Then I'll shout up for you two to drop the bag.
Brilliant, Jonah says. Yay, Jack!
Oh.
It is a pretty good idea.
Okay, I say to Jack. You slide down and tell us when. Then Jonah and I will push the bag off the cloud.
I'm on it, Jack says.
He leaps onto the beanstalk, then shimmies right down the center. At least getting down looks a lot more fun than climbing up. I watch Jack go through a red and purple cloud, then I can't see him.
Halfway there, he calls up. Almost to the ground,
I hear him call more faintly.
Okay, I'm on the ground. All clear.
Look out, I shout as loud as I can. Jonah and I push the bag off the edge of the cloud walkway and watch it fall, fall, fall through the colorful clouds.
Thud. All good,
Jack calls up.
Phew,
Jonah says. He grabs a stem sticking out of the beanstalk. Gulp.
Here I go,
he calls and slides down. Now it's my turn. I carefully grab onto a stem and start shimmying down the beanstalk. Ooh, this is really fun! I slide down, 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 right through the multicolored clouds. Ooh, there's a super fluffy pink one that looks just like cotton candy. And there's one that's half orange and half blue, the colors of Smithville Elementary. And look, this one's all sparkly.
Sparkles. When do we meet the fairy?
A minute later, I'm back on solid ground with Jack and Jonah. Feels good. Hey, Jonah, I say, when do we meet the fairy?
Who?
Jack asks, grabbing an old peeling red wheelbarrow from the yard. Jonah and I help him hoist the sack of coins into the wheelbarrow. The fairy, I say.
The fairy riding a peacock,
Jonah adds. A peacock? Don't fairies already fly? I ask. Why would you need to ride a peacock? Jonah shrugs. Jack looks at us and grins.
Well, yesterday I would have said there's no such things as fairies, but now I know that magic beans exist,
and beanstalks that grow into the sky, and giants. Who'd have ever thought? So I guess fairies are real too.
Yep, I say, thinking of all the magic Jonah and I have seen in fairy tales. Jonah scratches his head, looking worried.
Jonah says, it's true, Abby. We should have met the fairy by now.
Don't fret, mate, Jack says to Jonah. Was the fairy going to help us get up to the castle or something? If so, we didn't need her. We have what we went for.
He points at the sack in the wheelbarrow.
Even if we didn't get the goose and the magic harp you mentioned.
I guess, I say.
But the fairy is supposed to be the one to tell you all about what that awful giant did to your dad, Jonah says.
Jack tilts his head and stares at Jonah. He doesn't know, I say to Jonah. because we haven't met the fairy yet. Jonah's face falls and his shoulders slump.
Oh, yeah.
He turns to Jack.
Sorry I said something. I didn't want to be the one to tell you.
Wait, Jack says. What are you talking about? What awful thing did the giant do to my dad?
I'm sorry to be the one to, spill the beans again, but the giant killed your father, Jonah says, bowing his head.
Huh? Jack asks. He looks confused. The giant didn't kill my father.
Huh?
Jonah asks, scrunching up his face.
Huh?
I ask. Jack shakes his head. My dad caught a bad illness that was going around a few years ago. He died from that. He told me he loved me and my mum with his last breath. I sure do miss my pop, he adds with a wistful sigh.
Aw,
that's so sad about Jack's dad. But if the giant didn't kill Jack's dad, then...
Hey, Abby, Jonah whispers. I think I know why we haven't met the fairy.
I think I know, too. Because we're not in that version of the story.